it's an appropriate day for everything, I suppose. I want to start out by having everybody just take a nice deep breath. It seems a little chaotic and a little bit over disturbed, but know that that's exactly what the devil would love to happen. I'll be talking today on spiritual warfare, interestingly enough. It's going to be more of an application because I think as believers, we know God is faithful, he's capable, and he will do what he says he's going to do. But we forget that as we walk daily in this life, that he's given us that same power and he'll work through us to accomplish all that he has. And I also want to remind you that even though the Holy Spirit is here, the devil loves to come to church too. He loves to send people in to distract and confuse and irritate. And our job is to be on guard. Our job is to pay attention, not just for ourselves, for our spirit, but for those around you. And to know that if the enemy is attacking someone, it's your obligation to pray for them. That's what God calls us to do. So I just want to take a minute. I want to open up in prayer. So just everybody take a breath and thank you, God. Lord God, I thank you for today. Lord, I thank you for this week. I thank you for the last 5 years of my life. Lord, I thank you for each individual here. God, we never want to say throw us into a battle, throw us into a storm. But Lord, we do say teach us and show us and grow us and use us. And Lord, how else can we be used or taught, Lord, but to walk through daily battles, Lord God. And Lord, I know that you are in this place, God, and I know there may be individuals, Lord, that are anxious today. Lord, I know the enemy is attacking people in this home, Lord God, and I just pray, Lord, that you would be so present, Lord. God, so present that the enemy would have to flee. Lord God, I come against every stronghold. Lord, I come against confusion. I come against the enemy speaking lies and whispers into our ears. I come against the distractions of your people, Lord God, that would keep them from learning what you would have for them to learn today, Lord God. Lord, if there is anything in me, Lord, that would want to be lifted up, God, take it out and strip it from me, Lord God. Lord, let only your words be spoken today. God, what you've given me, Lord, let it apply to our life, Lord. And if what I have down is not part of it, Lord, don't let me speak it. I pray that you would be so evident today, Lord God. Lord, bless each person. Open up every ear. Open up every heart and every mind, Lord God, and help us to apply your word to our everyday life. Amen. I've been thinking the last few weeks on, well, it's longer than a few weeks, on spiritual warfare. You want any warfare in your life, first you get saved. And then you maybe get married. Then you have some kids, and the battles get greater and bigger and more. Then you have grandkids, and that's a whole new set of battles, at least for our family. But you look at your kids' marriages, and you look at your own marriage, and you look at your little tiny children, your babies, your grandkids, kids around you, and you think, oh, Lord has so much for them, so much in their life that he's going to do. And everything is great, and it is, but we forget that there is an enemy that's big. Right. And he attacks. He attacks us. He attacks our kids. And he starts from when they're tiny. And instead of speaking words of encouragement and love, and in our family where we've lacked in praying together, they see that. And those are so important to do with your children, with your spouse, with your family. If you don't have that prayer in your life constantly, you will miss things. You won't hear. You'll think God's not speaking to you, but he is. You're just not inviting him in. I've got a lot of verses that I'll be referencing. I only have four key scripture, but I'm not going to say, oh, found here, found there. I'm trusting that you are all seasoned believers by looking at the room. But if you need a list, I can certainly get you one. I have them written down. So battles in our everyday life, not talking about when you're at home and the grandkids want the remote control and Mimi wants to just listen to music on the Amazon Music, and they're battling over who's going to play the Switch and this and that. Talking about battles that will bring you to your very knees because you have no control over anything that you're in. Storm that is so great that it only takes God and His hand to hold you to be able to walk on that water. It's going to require you to gird yourself with the weapons of warfare. And not just that, big element we forget is that we have an army with us. God has equipped us with believers to bring into that fight and to use them for good, to help you get through each battle. I can't think of any battle I've fought in alone and won. We have the Word of God, and can you imagine, I was thinking this morning, if the Bible was, it's like all the battles in the Word were on a, what is that called, a TikTok reel, where you just watch them? How many people would be stuck watching all the reels? And they forget that these are real, like these really happened. This wasn't fake. None of this is fake. It literally happened. I mean, think about David and Goliath. Is anybody else blown away by that? Like, a kid basically goes out, oh, don't worry, I got this. Because God said He's going to do this. That's big. Do we walk in that faith? I would say most of the time we don't. Not all the time anyway. But these stories all glorify God. They will all glorify God. And that's the importance. And we have the blessed opportunity to read them, to glean from them, to learn, and to get ourselves ready for every battle. And that is going to help us increase our walk with the Lord, have more faith, and not just that, but teach everybody else around us. See, these kids need that. We lack faith in this world, especially in America. Like, we just do. We have everything we need, so what do we need faith for? Amen. So things that I thought about while studying for this is, what were these people going through while they were going through these battles? How did they pray? What was their faith like? Who gets the glory? And what weapons did they have in their arsenal? I mean, David had a stone and a slingshot. Doesn't seem like much, but when it's powered by the Spirit of God, it's pretty mighty, right? I don't know any Christians that love battles. Maybe you do. Yay for you. But I don't know any that I can speak of that would appreciate another one. In fact, we usually want to talk about, we want to mope and stuff a lot about, oh, my week, it was so hot, or I didn't get that raise, or pick something, fill it in. There's always something, and we're quick to bring in those disappointments or non-blessings. When Paul asks, who's got a praise report? And two, thank you, Jesus, we have those. But when our woes outweigh our yays, maybe we need to start taking a list all day, all week, like write them down. Because maybe we need to be reminded that we have those. We have wins every day. Battles are usually the last result of things. However, spiritual battles do have a purpose. When you go through a battle, you're going to have scars. That's just the way it is. And those scars are a result and the proof of what we've walked through and how we've come through it. They season our walk with the Lord and that story with the Lord. Battles help to shape our character. How many of you can say that the battles you've gone through have completely shaped you into a whole new person?
Yes.
Did you enjoy the battle? Absolutely not. But you probably enjoyed what God did through it.
Yes.
And that helps us to remind us of God's goodness and His power. And they bring us closer to Christ. And we have to remember, Christ already won. We don't remember that when we're in that battle. We don't. Most of the time we don't. We might think about it and tell ourselves to make ourselves feel good, but it's not, I know for me, not necessarily placed in, believe this, it's, oh, God's won, so it'll be fine. That doesn't mean you just walk away and don't fight your battle. That means you better get your weapons and call your army, because you got a lot coming at you. I think back when Crystal was about a year and a half, I think I was pregnant with Cambry, and she had a invisible friend show up, a little dog. And if I've told you the story, I apologize, my family's heard it, but it's amazing. And I thought, oh, that's cute. She has an invisible dog friend. No messes to clean, because we're not animal people. Well, Nana, or Fran, I will talk to her about her as Nana, said to me, Jenny, that's not good. That's probably not a good thing. So you need to pray for her. And I was like, well, that's weird, but I'll do whatever she says, because she knows. She's wise. So I did. And the next night, She wakes up screaming in the middle of the night, comes in our room filled with terror, this little tiny girl. The dog's trying to get me, eyes wide open, and she's seeing something that I cannot see. The dog's trying to get me, he's trying to get me. So we are now thinking, oh, this is the devil, duh. So we pray some more, get her calmed down, get her to sleep. The next day I go to work, and I get home, and her bedroom door is off the wall, or off the hinges, and he's in the backyard standing it. Throughout the day, because it's humid, we had a swamp cooler. On the back of her door that was facing her room, in bright pink letters, said, "Beware of the dog." Gives me a little bit of chills thinking about it, but I know that the devil had come in that form. And I don't know what she saw, but it was frightening, and it was a demon, and he was attacking our baby. And Tom was mad, and he's standing, and he's so angry. And so Nana comes over, and at that time we were at a different church. I know, shocking, but we were, and our pastor came over, and we anointed the house, went through the entire house, touched all the doors with oil, and we didn't just pray, but we had war in that house, in her room, over her life. The devil wants your kids. He wants you. He wants your parents. He wants everything. He knows the end of the story, you guys. He's not stupid, but he watches, and he knows how we walk, and he knows how we fight. And if we're not prepared, he knows exactly how to get you. And in my front bathroom, I had, which I did not know at the time, but we had a dream catcher up because they were pretty. And Anna said, "You should probably get rid of that. That's demonic. You shouldn't have that in the house." Had no idea. And she had nightmares for a little bit after that, but ever since that day, she was scared to death of dogs. Till she got her own dog when she was an adult, little tiny puny thing. But that's just one example of how he comes at your kids. Caitlin, one day, Nana called and said, "Pray over Caitlin. I feel like the Lord is saying, watch her, something might happen." And I'll be darned if I didn't walk around the corner and I see Tom running out the door. She had to have been, what, five? And we have a trampoline, and she was hanging herself with the trampoline strap. Literally dangling and hanging. That's another example. Callista had a virus in her back, so they call it a virus. She couldn't walk for a week. All she did is scream. Cambry was constantly trying to lead her astray by her friends and her emotions when she's little. "No, no, follow these people." And then they become teenagers, and that whole thing becomes different. And that battle is different. Now you're fighting more emotional battles, more physical discouragement, how you feel, how you look, how people perceive you, what men want from you, what you should and shouldn't be giving. So now you're fighting that battle for your kids, and you're interceding, and you're praying, "God, bring them godly men. Please bring them godly men. Let them be pure when they get married." It seems like a simple prayer, but it is not. Pray that over your kids and your grandkids. Pray it all the time. Cambry had Keon. She almost died. Literally almost died. Keon almost died. And the Lord took them and held them. And as we're watching his heartbeat drop and drop and drop, he came out wrapped in a blanket, totally fine, and given to his daddy. Well, Cambry went off because she couldn't stop bleeding. It's when you stop and there's nothing else to do but fight for them. Because the Lord healed her. He healed Keon. And then you have your marriages. And that's totally different. And it's all wrapped up with your kids. And I'm being personal on this. So please give me a little bit of liberty. My family has always been strong. We have always been very close, very connected. We're together almost every day, all 17 of us. It's loud, it's chaotic, and we get stressed and frustrated, but we love it. And when we're not together, we miss it. And the devil hates that. He hates that my girls got married to good men, men that love the Lord, men that want to lead. And yeah, they're going to struggle in that, but that's their heart's desire. But he hates that. He hates that their kids, the older ones, have all given their lives to the Lord. He hates it. Makes him angry. You've got 17 people walking around that want to serve God. That's probably not a good thing for the devil. Imagine the amount of people that really serve the Lord. That probably infuriates him. And the devil came in at the weakest point when I had my back issues, broke my back, all my nerves, after at least 10, 12 surgeries, brought in a little hiccup. tried to break our marriage apart and our family to disperse it. And you know, God took something that was, unbeknownst to us, dead. And He burst it alive and rebirthed something so good that, yeah, that walk was hard, but it could have been so much worse. But look what God did. Look what He did. And none of you know the base or the intricate parts of it, but I can tell you what He does is amazing. Amazing. I look at Pastor Maggie and her back and look at her now and all those weeks, months. Oh, Lord, why? But you know what? She said, no, Lord, whatever You are going to do is what I'm here. You do what You're going to do. And look at her. That's an answer to prayer.
Amen.
God is good even when we're not. Mental battles, we talked a lot about physical, but those mental ones can get you. And they're not fun. I think, rather go through a broken back over a mental battle any day of my life. I rebuke them in the name of Jesus, but for myself, I've been through both, and it just seems like those physical ones, I'd rather have an outward scar than an inward wound. And I talked about David, one of Jesus' most famous ancestors, and his battle. And he did fight many battles, physical battles. He also fought some mental battles. He had some issue. And I used to not be too keen on David. Everybody knows that who knows me. Until God said, he is just a man like you are a woman.
Amen.
He loved me and wanted my will. And you know, he didn't hide it. Like, everybody knew with Bathsheba. They ended up knowing. And look what happened. Their baby died, right? The husband died. He got Bathsheba. Yay, yay. And then they had a baby and the baby died. Like, did David just sit there and, oh, look what I did. It's all about me. I did it. And he got up. Praise God. And he went along his work. He didn't talk about how dangerous Goliath was or how stupid he was with Bathsheba. He just got up and he continued his battle. Just kept on to the next one. Now, we each have a story. I talked about mine. But have you ever thought about your story with the Lord and your walk and thought about these questions? This is just some. What's the best part of my story? Was it the mountaintops? I guarantee those are in there. Yay, the mountaintops are so good. Was it the prayers that He answered? How about the loved ones that came to Jesus? Or what are the accomplishments that I've made? I got that job, I had this wife, I had this many kids, and I've acquired this wealth. Me, me, me. Who's being glorified? When you're looking at your story, who's being glorified? Who's being honored? Is it you or is it God? Something else that I was pondering on is, you know, it's nice to be in those times of rest where you're not in a battle. Those are great. Praise the Lord for them. It's to help us rest, equip ourselves physically, emotionally, mentally, all of those things, because we got another one coming up. But am I so passive in my walk with the Lord that the devil never feels the need to bug me? I've known people that have been given riches and riches and riches for, and they're not serving God. And you're like, what is going on? Why are they getting blessed with all this stuff? They never have to worry. Well, maybe they did serve God in this particular case. Yeah, they were on fire for the Lord, but the devil so thought it was great just to keep bestowing things on them because they didn't have any need for God then. So why go to Him? Would one of the best parts of your walk be walking through that battle and how God came through? Did this just cut out? Okay. We do go through a lot of battles in our short-lived lives. We're blessed if we get 80 years after that. I'm not sure what they call it. I just know I'm not looking forward to the after part. Just, I don't want to be over 80, but whatever the Lord says. I already hurt now, and I'm only going to be 50, so I think I'm young. Types of battles that we can go through, we're all going to go through these adversities or difficulties in our lives. Hurts by others, hurts by our family, our church family, our parents, our friends. Offense, that's a big one. You're going to have offense in your marriage. your friendships, with your kids. You're going to hurt your kids' feelings. You're not perfect. And it's their first time being kids and your first time being parents. So we got to give some grace there. Raising children is a, like I said, a huge battle. Helping with those grandkids, that's huge because you have a different set. You don't get to be mom and dad. So that's hard because you just want to cuddle them and be the good guy. Trauma, that's a word that's thrown around in our society a little too freely. However, it is a reality. I know in my life, I was traumatized as a child by some men in my life. I won't go into detail on that, but that helped to form my almost complete feminist view on men that the Lord has broken apart, thank God, because he has brought in strong men of the Lord that really love God and show that example of what God intended man to be and not what the world is. I think one of the biggest offenses, well, there's a lot, but for today, it's going to be offense in the church. As a believer, we think we can just go to church, never be offended, and then if we are, we can leave and go somewhere else. Well, you can, but you're going to be offended there, and then you're going to be offended over there, and you're going to be offended over there. It doesn't matter where you go, someone's going to make you mad.
Amen.
Because we're all human, and we all have different thoughts and ideas, but we shouldn't be basing our offense on this. And 9 times out of 10, your offense is probably stupid. Mine were all stupid. And thank God, our leadership, our pastors, I will not go into details on things I was offended on because it was all my own fault, but that they came to me and said, this is what's happening. And God allowed me to see that and repent and go on. We could have taken our children and gone somewhere else, and who knows where their lives would be right now. Like, we're accountable for that. And had they not come to us and said, this is wrong, this is what we're seeing, what's going on, and I had turned opposite and ran, my kids may not be serving the Lord. My grandkids may not be serving the Lord. I would have stood before God and answered for that. I don't ever want that on my rap sheet with the Lord. I mean, it happens, right? Lord, I did this, I did that. Did you? Because I don't see your name here, right? How do you respond to these battles? Good question. Do we roll over, wave the white flag, cry, mope, go to my family, take my side? Pastor did this week. Did you hear what he said? I mean, when it's all messed up, do we go to God? Or do we just go to ourselves and our spouse, and then they encourage us to do the wrong thing because, you know, we're fleshy and that's what we do. How does your survival on the battlefield lift up and encourage people around you? Does it give God the glory or does it give you the glory? How do these battles show God's strength and not your weaknesses? It's okay for people to see your weakness, but if that's all they're seeing, there's a problem. When you walk through something, they should see God in the end. God will always in the end turn things for good, always. So are they seeing that, or are they still just seeing you walking through the battle with your head down because you have no army, you have no weapons? And when we're weak, that's when the enemy strikes. I want to talk about 3 key points on how to fight. I know that we've all read about the weapons of warfare and all of that, but really, I think we just read it and then we go on. It's not computed and it's not applied. These are real weapons and we need to use them. First, we must value and steward the wealth of kingdom relationships that God has given us. Relationships within the church, with your fellow Christians. If I need prayer, I'm calling Maggie, I'm calling Nana, I'm calling people that I know, first of all, aren't going to judge me. Second of all, are going to lift me up and fight for me. You cannot fight alone. You will be in so many battles. If you fight for yourself, you're going to be amputated everywhere. Your arms, one at a time, are going to be chopped off from the wrist up. At some point, you're just going to die. Don't burn those relationships because those are divinely placed by God. When people give you a word, if it's from the Lord, you'll know it. It's going to align. If it doesn't quite fit, go to pastor. Go to somebody that is a trusted prayer warrior. Talk to them about this. If it doesn't apply, put it on the shelf and put it away. I've had a couple of those words from people. And my nana said, put them up.
If it's not applying to where you're at and what the word says, you put it up and put it away. And don't push away people because of offense. You will scourge your blessing. You will scourge their blessing. If God has placed them in your life, it's for a purpose. Utilize their skills. Utilize their gifts. The value of these kingdom relationships is huge, and we need help from other believers. I don't know any world war that's been fought by one person.
Amen.
I know a lot of people that tried to fight, and they all lost. Wrong side. There's a pastor I follow, Pastor Philip, and he said this, and I loved it. Some of the greatest blessings you will ever have in your life will walk into your life on two legs. My Nana is the number one most blessed godly relationship that I have. Now, yes, I do have a godly relationship with Maggie, and she is also one of my most cherished relationships. And the wisdom that they give to me blows my mind. And I could only pray that I could be that type of witness to my girls, to my grandkids, to those around me. God has given me a passion and a love for women, and that's why the type of nurse I am, because I cherish it. But I don't just want to give them good health. I want to give them life. I want to give them Jesus, right? Godly relationships, these are imperative to our walk. Never gone through any battle without someone. When Tom and I were having issues in our marriage, the day everything just kind of blew up, we said, that's it, we're going to pastor's house. And that's where we went. We just got in the car and drove over, and poor pastors are like, but thank God they're open. Thank God they brought us in and love us, and they don't judge us. They look at us like they would look at themselves. We're human, we mess up. Let's fix this, right? We've been married 31 years, and I can say today is better than 20 years ago. I'm not grateful for the battle, but I'm grateful for what I've learned through it. I'm grateful for knowing God is bigger than me. We get to hold the ropes for other people. We also, when we give in our offerings and we give to my brain just went out with this, we get to connect that rope from the person to the rope to Jesus, not just financially, but through prayers. There are people around the world, we forget them because we live in America. They die daily. All day long, they're being murdered and slaughtered for their love for Jesus. And I don't think that they would, I just don't think that they sit around and like, oh my God, we're going to die. But, oh Lord, we get to see you. I don't know. That's a faith that I pray I get. Blessings tend to be looked at by a lot of us as monetary, having lots of things, a bigger house, lots of money, better car, better job. But if it's not, if your blessings are not to fulfill God's will, then what's the point of having them? For yourself? Where's that going to get you? It's not going to get you far. And we need to invest in people. We need to walk and fight with others, or we'll be alone and we will fail. Let's go back to David. I promise I'll get to scripture. When he was in battle with Saul, Saul wanted to kill him all the time. But David had a best friend, and his name was Jonathan, and Jonathan happened to be Saul's son. That's kind of webbed, but that's the Lord, right? And Jonathan said to David in 1 Samuel, "Whatever you desire, I will do for you." His father wanted to kill David, and he showed unwavering loyalty and willingness to support David. He put his own self aside, said, "I'll stand in the gap for you. What do you need? What can I do for you? Who are your kingdom partners? Will they go to war for you? Will they fast and pray at a moment's notice? Or do they look at their phone and say, oh, no, it's Daniel calling me again?" You want them to pick that phone up. "Hey, buddy, how can I help you? What's going on?" I sometimes am looked at like, maybe she's a little grumpy today. Will she pray? I'll pray for any of you. Call me. I will answer my phone. If I don't, I'm working. Text me and I'll text you back. But I will pray for you. I don't want to know all your business. I don't need to know the intricate details, but I will pray for you. When's the last time somebody from here asked you to pray for them? Don't answer, because that's probably every day. But for the rest of us, like, you don't just need to go to pastors. It's good that you do, but it's got a whole army.
Amen.
And we don't utilize each other enough. What is wrong with us? It's pathetic. Look at your circle. And once you look at your circle of people, reduce and increase as needed. Get rid of the ones that shouldn't be in there. Put in the ones that should. Second key point, trust and lean on the weapons of kingdom warfare. The battles we face are battles of who controls reality. What is your reality and who's in control of it? You or God? The word of God or the lies of the devil? It's easier, unfortunately, to believe the lies of the devil sometimes than it is the word of God, because we're flesh. And it's easier to loathe and it's easier to pout and whine than stand on the truth that God's given us. And the devil, he lies and punishes us in our minds. And we have to ask daily, who do I believe? That song, everybody's like, oh, here we go again. But whose report are you going to believe? It's a real thing. That's something that's in the word, because God's asking it. If he's asking it, you need to know the answer. He wants to destroy your families. I've already talked about that. But there is a literal war around us, between the kingdom of heaven and hell. And whether we believe it or not, whether we like it or not, it's there. And if God put down the veil for 2 seconds and showed us what was going on around us, we would all die. I cannot even imagine what was going on this morning when I walked in these doors. I'm like, what is going on right now? It's chaos in here. Because the devil wanted to make it all messy so people couldn't pay attention. Because somebody needs to hear something and the devil's trying to keep you from hearing it. Don't listen to him. Turn to, yay, scripture, 2 Corinthians. I told you I'd get there. And I apologize, my eye is draining like crazy. So, okay, we're going to look at verses 1 through 6. Now I, Paul, myself, am pleading with you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am lowly among you, but being absent, and bold toward you. But I beg you that when I am present, I may not be bold with that confidence by which I intend to be bold against some who think of us as if we walk according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Thank you. Chapter 10 is focusing on, well, in the verses that we read, Paul's defense of his apostleship and ministry, like he even needs to defend it, but particularly in response to criticisms, the accusations of those in the church. And he addresses them in his letters. Were bold, that his letters were bold, but his physical presence was timid, and that he was not a legitimate apostle. But he emphasizes that his authority comes from God, and his weapons are of warfare are spiritual, not carnal. And they focus on demolishing strongholds of what? False teaching, and doing what? Bringing every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. You have the power to do that. God gives you the authority, and you have to say it. I bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ by the power of Jesus. Speak these words. Speak. When you read your scripture, start reading it out loud. It has a totally different effect. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Verse 10. This is a little bit longer. We're going to go through 10 through 20. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on what? The whole armor of God, that you may be able to do what? To stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Don't just pick up a piece. Take up the entire thing, that you may be able to do what? Withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one.
and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The Word of God. That's your sword. You're holding that in front of you. Praying when? When you want to know. Always. With prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful. To this end, with all perseverance. Perseverance, huge. And supplication for all the saints. And for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. You don't walk around speaking the word of God like this so people can't hear you. You speak it. And at those times when you're in battle, you do it boldly and you do it loudly. And you show the devil and tell him who he is and remind him, you know the end. Don't forget, you're going to hell forever. And God will reign like he already does. Paul was asking for prayer from in his letter. Pray for me, always pray for me. Are we asking? We already talked about that. Are you asking for prayer partners? It's imperative. Do it. Do it. Caitlin said to us, I love that we grew up knowing Jesus, knowing about Jesus, but we stunk in praying for the parents. But yes, Tom and I have always struggled with praying together. I don't know why. We've made children together. We can't pray together. That seems ridiculous. But just saying, like, that should be the first thing that you do is pray all the time. We're trying to get better with that. Trying. Oh, might be walking in peace, but you better be prayed up, because at some point that battle that's around the corner is going to be coming. And you're called to do what? To be prepared. We've all been warned. These battles are coming. So if you're in that fun time of just, no, it's coming. So get ready. It won't be as bad if you're prepared. Have you ever noticed the armor that Paul talks about covers head to toe, right? But one spot it doesn't cover. Who knows what spot? Oh, the back. The back, yes. Does not cover the back. Why? I don't know. When you're in battle, do you go like this? Right. You don't run away from battle. The enemy's going to get you right in the back. So why not address it? Because you should be running into battle. Because you should be prepared, steadfast, girded, ready to go, not running away. Yeah, you may want to run away. Totally normal. But who's leading you? Who are you following? And who's following you? Not supposed to be looking back. We're fighting Satan and his followers. They don't rest. They lie, they cheat, they condemn, they destroy, they tear down. And they don't have weapons of warfare. Not spiritual good ones like we do. Ours will always win. I want to break down the weapons of warfare. So if you're skilled in this knowledge, great. But we could all use a refresher. That's why we keep reading the word. And we need to know how to apply it. Because hearing it is worthless if we cannot apply it to our life. Weapons that are not warfare, loathing, feeling sorry for ourselves, depression, wishful thinking. If God was a genie, I would like this, Lord. Yeah, he doesn't do that. Fit throwing, rebellion, big one, blame shifting. Oh, I'm so mad because Pastor Maggie did this, and so now I can't possibly do that. It's all her fault. No, probably not. So what are the weapons of warfare? We just read them in 2 Corinthians, that they are not physical. They're spiritual tools given to us by God to tear down strongholds and help us to resist negative influences. Where are those negative influences coming from? This and the people around you. I guarantee it. More so this than the people, because this is taking over human interaction. So beware. Get rid of social media that keeps you from reading the word and believing the word. The weapons of warfare are mighty because they are through God's strength and not our strength. They have the power to break all strongholds. Again, a very common stronghold, I don't know about men, but I know for women, negative thoughts and our thought patterns. When the devil comes in and tells you you ate a little bit too much cake and now you've gained 3 pounds, boy, women, we will focus on that for 10 years. Someone comes in, tells us you were ugly, we're going to focus on that. I'm going to bleach my hair, turn my... I don't know, pick something, stick it in there. But those beliefs and the systems that we're in hinder us from living a life that is pleasing to God and keeps us from His word, keeps us from His will. Basically, we're believing the lies of the enemy, and sometimes we invite them. Before we enter these battles, it says we must armor ourselves with the armor of God. In Ephesians that we just read, look at verse 13, and we're going to start there. I'm not going to read all of it, but it says, stand, gird your waist with what? With truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel. Grab the shield of faith so that you can do what? Quench all the fiery darts, not some, all of the darts which come from the wicked one. Put on the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And pray always. And with all prayer, be watchful with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. I know we all think we know what all these things are, but I went through them because I think we need to. The belt of truth. This is going to represent the truthfulness and the integrity and protects us against deception and lies. If you have that on, you're not going to believe those lies. The breastplate of righteousness is going to symbolize living a righteous life that is just, and you're guarding against evil. Shodding your feet, putting shoes of the gospel on, readiness to share the good news, gives you stability to be able to stand in your battle. The shield of faith, the hope of salvation and protection for the mind from what? Doubt, despair, discouragement, deceit, all the D's. Apparently they're all D's. I didn't even realize that. Represents the hope of assurance of God's deliverance and triumph. Helps believers to keep our thoughts guarded, to resist despair, and remain steadfast in our faith during spiritual struggles. Sword of the Spirit, the beautiful word of God that we have. This is the most offensive weapon known to man. It represents the truth and the word of God's word to fight against evil. This will offend every human being in the entire world, always has, always will. People were martyred for this. They're murdered for it daily because people are offended at the goodness and the truth. What a concept. And praying always. Why? Why do we have to pray always? Because it strengthens our relationship with God. How do you get to know somebody if you're not talking to them? It provides guidance and strength during our trials and battles and allows us to continue to participate in God's work. It's how we express gratitude. It's how we seek forgiveness. It's how we find peace and strength and know what we're doing in this life. Anything you need is in here. There's even a verse, I don't remember where it's at, but when we all say, just kidding, there's a verse about saying that. Shouldn't say it. Because are you kidding? Because you said it. Found that and I was amazed. I wish I had written it down. The weapons of our warfare are the tools that we use to fight these battles, helps us rely on God's power and the truth of His word. The presence of God is powerful, and He's given us the power and authority to take not some, but all and every thought captive, all of them. So why do we only take a few? Is it because we find comfort in the others, like a false comfort? I don't know, but we can take all of them. These are some of the weapons of warfare I put down. Praise, prayer, and worship, all encompassed in one. There's seven, but those three are put in one. Prayer, praise, and worship. When you come to the Lord in praise and worship, you're giving it all to Him. You're offering Him everything. You're receiving His Spirit in. You're communing with God. If you're communing with God, you're not hearing everything else. Thank God. The Word of God. This is our direction. This is our life. This is what gets us through every day. The name of Jesus, powerful. Speak it all the time. When you're confused or the enemy's attacking you, you're anxious, speak the name of Jesus over that. Loudly, not in your head. The devil can't hear your thoughts. Verbalize them. The blood of Jesus. What else do you need besides the blood of Jesus? He did it all. Speak it. Our faith. All those things raise your faith and get you closer to the Lord. And your testimony. Huge. You can be a stumbling block for somebody, or you can be a hydraulic lift for them. Which one are you going to pick? Don't be a stumbling block. It's not a fun place to be in. be fully consecrated to Christ. And our unity in Christ, when we come together, unity in one. We are all one body. If my arm is out of the body, I can't pick anything up from this side. I need somebody to step in and replace that. Be a prosthetic, I don't care. But one body. We don't put people out that are in our body. You would not just go and chop off your leg. We're going to look at these weapons that God's provided for us during the battles. And the war, we have to remember, is waged with one enemy and with one purpose. Death. Spiritual, physical. Either one. Pick it. They're both in there. He is powerful. We have to remember that. The devil is powerful. Yes, he is. But he is nothing compared to God. We have the ability to be powerful against his antics. He's powerful and he's smart, but he's nothing. Nothing. God could flick him with just a... And off he'd go. And God is so good. And every one of us have that arsenal of weapons to be used for all of our battles. We have to remember who we serve. We serve the I Am. He is what you need when you need it. Anytime. And we keep him locked in a box because it's convenient. I don't know, but that's pathetic. Why? That's our lifeline. In 2 Corinthians, we read... that we don't rage war like the world does. We have those spiritual weapons to use because we're in a spiritual battle. Now, they are not directed by people. These weapons are not directed by people. Sorry. The word says, according to Paul, that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities and the powers of the dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's a spiritual battle. Everything is a spiritual battle. If he can get us to lose our faith, chops away at our base, right? At our foundation. Then we're just going to crumble. Prayer, praise, and worship. I'm just going to reference these. You can write them down if you want to, but I'm not going to turn to them. In 2 Chronicles 20, three enemy kings came together and declared war over King Jehoshaphat. He turned to the Lord for help and encouraged the nation to fast and pray. Spirit of the Lord among them, and God gave them this message. Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judea and Judah and Jerusalem. This is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's. Okay, that we forget that. And it's easy to forget that because we're human. Thank God the Lord knows that and gives us grace. Jehoshaphat assembled that army, and he did a very unconventional thing. Put the choir and praise band in front. And the power of prayer, praise, and worship was undenied. And the enemy army was moved without the king or his soldiers, and there was no fighting. The word of God. Paul compares the word to a sword of a soldier. Can a soldier get anywhere without his sword? Nowadays, they don't fight with swords. They have guns. So if you are going to World War III, are we going to go without guns, without tanks? Probably not. You won't get too far. He says, take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the what? The word of God. God's word is like a double-edged sword, for the word of God is alive and active. This book is not dead. It is full of life, and when we speak it, we are full of the power of God, and he gives us to that freely. It's sharper than any double-edged sword, and it penetrates even to the dividing of soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and it judges thoughts and the attitudes of the hearts. That's probably why we don't like it all the time, because when we ask God, show me in your word where what I'm doing wrong, God, and we see it, and we're like, oh, that cuts hard. I don't want to change that. But thank God he gives us that. That's in Hebrews chapter 4. The name of Jesus, one of our strongest weapons, is his name. And our personal relationship with him, it is a powerful force. The enemy recognizes it. He doesn't just recognize it, but he fears it. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That is in Philippians chapter 2. Amen. Do you all remember that the devil knows all of what's in here? He knows it, and he walks in fear every day because of the power that this word hold in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Do you walk around speaking God's name as if it has power?
Amen.
Do we do that daily? Like, do you believe that his name is full of power?
Yes.
The Bible tells us that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous, that's us, run into it and are saved. That's in Proverbs. Both the Old Testament and the New Testament are filled with verses that talk about the power in the name of the Lord. In 1 Samuel, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the army of Israel, whom you have defiled." The blood of Jesus. Because of his blood, we are redeemed. We are sanctified. That means set apart. We're cleansed. We're forgiven. We're justified. Brought into the right relationship with Christ in the presence of God. That's huge. Huge. His blood grants us the entrance into the very throne room of heaven, you guys. Literally the feet of God sitting there. And he welcomes us, his children, welcomes us in. Revelation 12 says they triumphed over him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. Lord, don't let us love our lives to death. Turn, please, to Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to look at verses 1 through 3. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We just had this conversation with Thomas this week. What is faith, buddy? What is faith? You just believe it because you do. Great answer from a 9-year-old. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of those things not seen. For by it the elders obtained what? A good testimony. By faith, we understand the worlds were framed by what? By the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. The Bible is... If you keep reading down, I made a short note because it was just too much to read, but if you keep reading, talks about men and women through their faith that accomplished impossible tasks.
Yeah.
Abel, Enoch, Noah, Abraham, Sarah. Crazy stories, but they're real. In Ephesians, Paul describes faith as a shield for believers. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can do what? Extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Again, all of them, not just some. The shield of faith protects us from the enemy's darts. Our faith is increased, and God puts the enemy's fire, puts out the enemy's fire and turns his plans into blessings. Faith is a spiritual weapon that clears the way for us to receive God's grace. It enables us to triumph over what the world throws at us. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. Everyone born of God, that's you, overcomes the world. This is the victory that has overcome the world, even our faith.
Yes.
That's in 1 John. Our testimony. Jesus promised his disciples they would receive power from the Holy Spirit. This would make them effective witnesses. They had a lot of work to do. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's in Acts chapter 1. Do we walk around like that? We say this was a different time. I think it was a more difficult time. You would get stoned. Not 2025 stoned, but stoned with rocks.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't pebbles. They were huge stones, and they would stone you in the streets. And you would just die. Like, that's just the way it was. I don't see them doing that out here. We walk around powerless a lot of the time. I know I do. Their testimonies would provide the evidence needed to spread the gospel throughout the world. Testimonies are powerful, not just for individuals, but for corporate witnessing. Our testimonies are strong weapons that work to connect others to God's grace and also to teach each other. They lift us up. When I hear how you struggled with something, but God helped you overcome that, that encourages me. It encourages my faith. Testimonies speak and prove God's presence and how He transforms us through His power that has defeated the enemy, which in turn inspires hope in the hopeless and the oppressed. Our unity in Christ is definitely a spiritual weapon. Unfortunately, we take advantage of this tool. It is, however, one of the great prayers Jesus offered on behalf of His followers in John 17. It was also one of the keys that opened the door for the Holy Spirit to be poured out on the believers in Acts chapter 2. As those early believers waited in obedience and as they prayed together, an atmosphere of unity was formed. Can you imagine being in the upper room? Corporate prayer is our way to come together to seek God's presence and direction. It's so powerful and builds unity with churches and allows us to experience God's presence and power and should be done and not looked at as a burden. I am not calling anybody out. I am saying if you need help in your walk, we now have prayer meeting. Get there if you can. If you're sick, your car's broken, understandable. If you can be there, do it. You will be encouraged. You will be blessed. And you will bless others. And you get to be with believers, lift up the Word of God and those petitions that we have to Christ and watch what God does with them.
Amen.
There's a song that I love, and it's called This Is How I Fight My Battles. One of the verses, it may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. So remember, when the enemy is floating around you, bugging you, the Lord is greater, His army is greater. And remember, that's what we're surrounded. Do you believe it? Do you believe that God surrounds you? Do you really believe it? I know God fights my battles. I have scars, I have physical scars, and I have internal scars to prove what He's done. But when I look at the scars, I don't think about the battle. I think about now and where I'm at now and what He's done now. My God created heaven and earth. He created man in His own image. And even though we failed, He gave us life. He brought out the Israelites out of slavery. He parted the Red Sea. He answered Elijah by fire on Mount Carmel. He stopped the flow of blood from a woman that was dying. He healed lepers. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk. He brought the dead out of the grave. What do you think Lazarus thought when he came waltzing out? Oh, God sent His only Son to die for us. He came down from heaven to this disgusting place and died for you. He gave us breath. He saved your life. He died for you. He gave you a corporate group of believers to help lift you up. He gave you His Word to guide you. Are you utilizing the tools? Are we reading the Word as much as we're reading Facebook? Probably not. Are we reading the Word as much as we're scrolling the news? If you're not reading this, the news you read is going to scare you out of your mind. But if you know the Word, you are not going to have that fear, because the assurance is in here, not in the news. Not in our politicians, the leaders of our country. I don't know why we call them leaders. Half the time they're dropping us out. But that's not where our faith is. Not in who's running our country, but who's running eternity. Do you believe who God is and what He's done? Do you respond to your battles with the weapons He's given you? Do you believe He will recover what the devil has stolen? Do you believe it? We say it, but do you believe it? Two different things. My last point, believe we will see the wages for kingdom boldness. Boldness is huge. Speak in boldness. Don't be meek and drunk with this. When you're speaking the Word of God, the devil can't even hear you. Fight for God's glory. holy, righteous anger. Refuse the devil to have dominion over you and your family. You speak it. If that means you walk through your house and you anoint every door, every wall, then do it. If that means you stomp your feet and rebuke the devil from your kids' lives, their minds, from getting your husband to look at pornography, to getting your husband to not want to be home with you, from getting your wife to be so full of vanity that she can't even focus on raising kids, do it. Rebuke it. You have the power through Jesus. Refuse to allow others to mock God. If people are sitting around you mocking, say something. He died for you. The least you could do is say, no, not okay. Mm-hmm. Remember who's leading your fight. If you're leading your fight, you're about to fail it. If God's leading it, you will walk out victorious. When you're finally tired of the garbage and the lies that the devil is putting in your heart, your mind, and your family, when you're tired of his tricks and antics with your spouse and your children and your work, get angry. It is not wrong to be angry. Apply the armor of God. Get your weapons and go to war. You already know who wins. He already won it. You just have to walk through it. Remind the devil you have authority over him and all of his little creature things, whatever you want to call him, all his demons. They cannot take dominion over you and they cannot take it over your family. Take charge, fight for yourself and your family, your fellow Christians, and get angry. It is not a sin, people. It says, be angry and do not sin. Don't tell me Jesus walked around the money changers making that whip and he wasn't angry. Don't tell me he wasn't angry. He flipped those tables. Righteous anger, there is a difference. Finally, my question to you is this. Has God ever failed you?
No.
No. Not once. You will be in many battles, many, many battlefields. Some we have to literally walk ourselves into, like that discussion with the family member that you don't want to have because of the way that they're living around your kids. Stepping out on faith. Oh, I really know that God's leading me to do this. I don't want to because I'm scared, but I'm going to have faith that God said do it, and I'm going to do it. Standing up for your beliefs. That is hard. We all can do it from behind a screen, but when you're in a room of people and someone's talking bad about the Lord or wanting you to do something that you don't ethically believe in because it's not right in the Word of God, you have to stand up. You have to. You don't have a choice. We think we have choices in some things, and we just don't, or we shouldn't. Holy boldness. Pray for holy boldness. Remember that you need reinforcements when running towards giants. Put that armor of God on. Utilize all those weapons of warfare that the Lord gave us. Surround yourselves with godly friends and godly mentors. You're going to be in the world. That's where we live. You're going to work around people that are unsaved, but they should not be who you are in communion with. Bottom line, bring them in. If they don't want to serve the Lord, then they're now acquaintances. You should be around godly people. Get a mentor. You need them. We need elders in our church that have walked with the Lord for many years. I need that. I need my pastors. I need my Nana. I need that knowledge. I need to know what I need to do as I keep walking with the Lord. I need to know how to fight. There are different battles with every season of life is what I'm learning. We need to please God and not those around us. We will fail each other, so give grace where grace is needed. But also use your brain. People will fail you. Forgive them and move on. 2 Timothy 2:11 through 13 says, this is a faithful saying. For if we died with him, we shall also live with him. If we endure, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will what? Deny us. If we are faithless, what does he do? He remains faithful because he can't deny himself. God is with us all the time during our battles. We are not called to hide. He gave us his word. This is our ultimate survival guide, people. You have to be trained for battle. If you're not trained, you're going to die. And if you die untrained and unserving the Lord, you're not going to heaven. Where are you going to go? There's only two choices. One is full of life and love. Someone who died for us, literally died, walked the earth and died. Not just a quick death. And not just death, but he took every sin of the world that was, is, and will be, took it on himself. He separated from God. His father turned his face from him. That's big for you.
Amen.
You throwing it back in his face, or are you accepting it? Fight depression. Fight anxiety. Fight family. Fight for your marriage. Fight lust, addiction, anger, laziness, jealousy. Put a word in there. Whatever it is that you're battling, fight for it. Fight that God would bring you above that. That's what he wants for you. God never wanted us to wander around in the wilderness continually when the answer is literally right here. Here's the sign, and we're just like, can't see it. It's right here. God had me pray Ephesians 6:10 through 18 over my life. I'm going to pray it. And I wrote it out because my eyes are watery and sometimes I stumble. But praying God's word is what we should be doing because it's relevant. God, help me be strong in your power and might. Place your army upon me so that I can fight against the devil. I know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against all principalities, powers, and against rulers of the darkness and spiritual hosts of wickedness. Help me to take up the whole armor you have given me so I can withstand evil for my days and that I will have the ability to stand firm. As I stand, please gird my waist with your truth. Apply your breastplate of righteousness and protect my feet and increase my readiness to share your gospel with those around me. Help me to stand. Help above all, Lord, help me to take up the shield of faith as this protects me from any attacks of the enemy and increases my unwavering trust in you. Protect my mind from doubt, despair, discouragement, and deceit as I wear the helmet of salvation and increase my hope and assurance of your deliverance and triumph. Help me stay steadfast in my faith during all struggles. Lord, let your word, this sword of the Spirit, be offensive to the world, as this weapon allows me to fight against the evil that surrounds me. May I always be in communion and prayer with you, as this strengthens my relationship with you and gives me the strength and guidance to live each day and to be prepared for battles that I will be in. May I always give you the glory you deserve. Lord God, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, that as we walk through battles, God, that you are leading us and you are protecting us. Lord, when we think we are lost or that you have forgotten us, God, you are right there. You haven't forgotten us, Lord. You haven't led us astray. God, help us to remember that you are mighty and you are in control, Lord. Help us to put self aside. Help us to want to draw nearer to you, to be in communion with you. Help us to read our word daily, to pray daily, continually, Lord. Help us to remember our purpose on life is not to have a good life and to have a bunch of happiness, Lord, but to spread your word and to lift up other believers and encourage them and bring others to you. Lord God, I thank you for your power. I thank you for your goodness, for your authority. I thank you for your correction. I thank you for bringing people in our lives, God, that will bring us into correction and call those things out, but in a way that is right. Lord, please bring us into a communion and a setting, Lord, together. Lord God, I pray that you would bless each believer. Lord, I pray that for our next prayer meeting, whenever that is, Lord God, that you would increase your believers that come. Lord, I pray that you would make a way for that, for whoever you want to be there. And Lord, I just pray you'd be with each of us today. Lord God, may you reign in our lives and be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.